Father, we do once again come before you and ask that you would bless us as we look into your word, that our hearts might be stirred up and our minds might be stirred up, and that we might be encouraged to take hold on thee. We know, Father, that there is a continual struggle, and we ask that you would encourage us, and I pray that the saints would be encouraged to continue to fight the good fight of faith, to lay hold on eternal life, and to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of thine, and that they might indeed know what it is to commune more and more with Christ Jesus, our Lord and Master. Someday, Father, we will not have the struggle, and we cannot begin to imagine what it will be like. But we pray that you would bless us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that at least we might have some smidgen of an idea, some small part of understanding what it may be like to have full fellowship with thee. Yea, as the song says, like sweet fellowship with thee. And bless us to have it. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to continue to look on drawing nigh to God, or how to draw nigh to God. And we pointed out primarily 2 points this morning, and that is a daily reading of the Holy Scriptures and a prayer. I want to take up another point that seems to go right along with that, and probably a little bit more difficult than to do the other two from an objective standpoint, and that is keep our minds stayed on God, to have our minds stayed on God. In other words, we need to try to keep ourselves mindful of God. You may have picked up on it, I don't know, but a lot of times in my prayer I talk about, and sometimes in the preaching too, a conscious awareness of the presence of God. Not only do we say we know that God is there all the time and things of that nature, but to be conscious of that fact, that He is present, having our minds stayed on God. And we should try to have our minds stayed on God in such a way that we might have our minds being continually filled with the things of God. One of the first passages along this line is in Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. And it's the passage that we so often quote or have heard quoted, or may even quote ourselves or quote to others. And that is in verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." Notice, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." Now, some of the Hebrew idiom is somewhat hard for us to sometimes grab a hold of. You know, even in the psalm that we read in our scripture reading, "Blessed is the man," and then there's three parts under that poetically. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful," nor, I forgot the other one. But anyway, 3 points there. But here in the Hebrew, in this Isaiah 26 verse 3, it's literally, "Thou wilt keep him in peace, perfect peace, full peace. Thou wilt keep him in shalom. Shalom is the Hebrew word for peace. Shalom. Blessed peace, perfect peace. "Thou wilt keep him in shalom. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." It's kind of like, you know, we're in what's called the tornado season and the hurricane season and so on, things like that. and you hear the weather forecast, you hear the news, and they talk about the destructions of hurricanes and tornadoes, and is the tornado going to come here, or is it going to come there? What about an earthquake here, an earthquake there, and so on, and things of that nature, as if these are forces of nature under which there is no control. Well, a tornado or a hurricane or an earthquake or a snowstorm or an ice storm or a flood or whatever is not a force of nature under which there is no control. God is in control of these things. Now, it's easier to talk about, say, a tornado and say, well, that God's in control of that, than it is to think about being late for a doctor's appointment and stopping at every traffic light that's always red. You know what I'm talking about. You're late, and every slow driver in the world is on your street and in your lane, and it's delaying you at every turn. You think, well, he's going to turn off here, or I'm going to turn off here and I get rid of him, and lo and behold, he's got the same course he turns to. You know, and you wonder, what am I going to do? And we get all frustrated and put out and agitated until we can remind ourselves, you know, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. It's easy to think about the providential dealings of God in our lives when things go well. Brother Tommy was telling me at lunch about he was going to meet Dan Beecham and Jeff Watkins, and they were going to meet over there around the Opryland Hotel. And he was getting there, and he didn't know where they were, and they knew about where they was going to meet, and they didn't know where he was, and they had already parked at one time, I believe, and were moving to another place, and as everything just fell out, as he was wondering where to, and he was just fixing to turn in and park somewhere, and Brother Dan calls him. And as they're talking and wondering where each other are, it comes to find out that Jeff was in front of Brother Tommy, and Dan was in front of Brother Jeff. And there they all were right there. Now you think about, in the providential dealings, here are these three, they're going to meet at this huge place, and they all happen, you know, as the world would say, to get there at the same time, and one's right behind the other. And Brother Tommy was talking about how he just began to rejoice in the sovereignty of God, that if he had turned off sooner, or if they had not decided to move, or if they just didn't, you know, that never would have happened. And we can rejoice at things like that. But what about when they're all at three ends of the parking lot? You know, it's easy to sing, he's just the same today. But do we really believe that when our world is turned upside down, he's really just the same today? The only way that we can do that is have our minds stayed on God, instead of the woe is me mentality. Why does this have to happen to me? Nobody else has my trouble. And when you try to remind people like that, well, you know, you're not going through anything new. Somebody else gone through it before. Well, you're just insensitive. You just don't understand, and you don't want to, you know, and things of that nature. But if we would just, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Thou wilt keep him in shalom, shalom, whose mind is stayed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. Lord, I have no idea where I'm going, what I'm going to do, how it's going to turn out. But I do know that according to Your holy word, I must get my head in the book. I must pray. I must keep my mind stayed on Thee and ask You to give me wisdom as to which course that I am to go instead of following my own ideas. Don't leave me to myself. I can make big enough mess by myself. I need You. And we need to keep our minds stayed on God that we might ever continue to think that way. You know, if I leave the house early, late and everybody's in my way going to work and things like that, I'm prone to forget that. But I'm thankful that many times the Lord will bring things like, well, you know, God's still in control. You know, and the problem's not God. And I need to slow down. I need to get in. I need to do what God says with reference to, you know, that we obey the laws of the land. I need to keep the traffic, you know, need to keep in with that, not try to break all of that and just to make up for lost time. It's easy to say, isn't it? But it's a daily struggle. But it is essential that we force ourselves to keep our minds stayed on God. It doesn't come very easily a lot of times. And we have to do that. There's nothing better to fill one's mind with than that of Christ. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 29... You know the passage. You know the passage well when Jesus said to take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find what? Rest to your souls. Is your soul at rest? Is your soul at peace? You know, we can have peace with God, and we can have the peace of God. We don't need the peace of the world, and we don't need the peace of the world. We don't need to have peace with the devil. We don't need to have peace with self. The only way that we'll have peace with self is to be at peace with God. And therefore, Jesus said to learn of Him. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. Learn of me. Have your minds filled with Christ. Remember when teaching school, sometimes to remind my own children from time to time, or have, you know, they come up on that dreaded M word. Multiplication tables. The dreaded M word. And, well, you know, what's a trick to learning the multiplication tables? I've never found a trick. It's just monotonous repetition. Just over and over and over, the biblical example, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. That's the only way you can memorize a verse of Scripture. Oh, I know there are a few people, they can read over something or read over something two or three times and they just got it. I went to school with a feller and went to high school with him. We went through high school together. We went through college together. And he was one of those fellers that, you know, he read over something, read over his notes, and went into class and just about aced everything. And I just study and figured I got it all figured out and study a little bit more and study a little bit more. And I mean, it's just like pulling hen's teeth to make a passing grade. I remember one time complaining to one of my professors or talking to one of my professors and about the difficulty that I was having, and he said, "Well, Jimmy, so let me tell you something." He said, "Sometimes people like you retain far more than people like so and so." He said, "A lot of those folks have a quick memory, and they learn something pretty quickly, and they take their test, and then they forget about it." He said, "People like you may not be making the A's and B's all the time, but what they've learned and studied it sticks with them. That always encouraged me a little bit and try to study a little bit harder. But that's the way it is with most of us. You know, there's not a whole lot of geniuses out there. Most of us, where we like to think we're cut above everybody else, we're about there on the same page. And it's just digging it out. And having our minds stayed on the Lord, it's that constant learning of Christ, taking His yoke upon us. You know, there's two pictures about a yoke. You normally think of a yoke, and I know that I can't draw this thing, but you normally think of a yoke as a piece of wood, kind of like this, something like that, and the old ox is this the thing sits on the neck of the ox here and here, and then there's something that goes under here that kindly hooks it up, and the old ox's head's in there, and that's under the throat of the ox, and he has to pull that load. Well, it's not an easy thing to do, but it helps to pull the load, and it makes it a little bit easier. I was raised on a farm, and you had something that went around a mule, and it was kindly shaped like this. We called it a collar. Of course, it kind of went together a little bit more like that. And you put that around the mule, and then there was a gear that went in front of the collar that the trace chains were on to hook to the plow or the wagon or whatever. And so it made a padding or a cushion on the shoulders of that mule that when it was pulling something or a horse, it made it easier, kind of like a yoke here or the oxen's yoke there. But several years ago in reading in William Gadsby's son, John Gadsby, little book, he talked about another yoke. And you'll find that somewhat in the book of Isaiah, I remember, about a wood yoke and an iron yoke. But there was a yoke of a slave. And it was a piece of iron that fit around the slave's neck. And his arm was also hooked on to this yoke that was around his neck as a slave or a servant when he was hooked up into that. And when he let his arm rest in that yoke, it pulled on the back of his neck. And when he wanted some relief, he had to take his arm and hold that iron yoke up. But Jesus said, "My yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. My burden is not something heavy and hard and laboriously consuming. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. As you study Christ, as you become friends with the Lord, as your mind and heart and emotions and will continually grows to the pattern of that of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you more and more are identified with Him and enjoy what He enjoys, desires what He desires, and lives in the way that He would have you to live, you'll find that your life is becoming far more peaceful, and that you are enjoying Him more and more, and you'll find that the things of the world and the ideas and the opinions and the philosophies of the world continues to grow dimmer and dimmer. You don't just pray and you get it. It is that continual coming, continually going to Christ, continually learning of Him, continually taking His yoke upon you and say, Lord, I am a bond slave, and I gladly wear your yoke. And it's not some iron weight around my neck. It is a joy and a peace and a delight. If our minds are stayed on Christ, as the passages we've already looked at, but a couple of more, we will continually trust Him. We will continually trust Him. Let's go back to Psalm 10 firstly and get a passage which shows that in addition to what we've already looked at. We will continue to trust Him. Psalm chapter 9, I may have said chapter 10 a few moments ago, I meant Psalm chapter 9, but it's verse 10. Psalm 9, verse 10. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee. Notice that. That verse is just power-packed. Notice. And they that know thy name, there's knowledge, there's studying, there's that continual reading, meditating, studying the Scriptures, taking your yoke upon Christ, learning of Him. They that know thy name, not have an idea about God, but they that know thy name, know the true and the living God, will put their trust in thee. It is impossible for those who are born again that continually study the Lord, but what they are going to do, what He would have them to do. Now, if you're out here and you're just wanting to do your own thing, He just might let you do your own thing for a while. But they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for the Lord hath not forsaken them that seek thee. He doesn't forsake those that seek Him. Therefore, we find in order to draw nigh to God, we must have our minds stayed on Him. I am to have my mind focused on Christ far more the numbers and figures and call statistics. Right now, I am put under a specific, put in a specific situation to where I am having to deal with call figures all day long, just about it. Working reports, redesigning reports, trying to think outside the walls, as they say, in order to come up with new ways to better read and to better evaluate, and hopefully maybe to set a new standard for the company. And I find myself continually waking up in the middle of the night working queries and trying to make things better. So right now I'm in a struggle, and I would ask your prayers that I would more and more redeem the time and use my time in such a way that I can force myself more and more to have my mind stayed on the Lord. And you may be having your own particular trial or affliction or situation in life. I don't mean to be complaining or having a woe is me mentality or anything of that nature when I say what I'm saying. I'm just stating facts. I'm saying I'm a preacher. And I have the same struggles that you have. You know, a lot of times people say, preacher, well, you just don't understand. Well, I try not to make a lot of allusions to my own self for fear that I might even get to feeling sorry for myself for it, one thing. But what I'm trying to say is, it's not easy. It doesn't matter what job you have or whether you're totally retired. Almost said retarded. I say that jokingly so many times, so I apologize for that. But, you know, it doesn't matter what situation you are in life. It doesn't matter. Whether you're a homemaker, whether you're working in the workforce, whether you're going to school, some child is having trouble with some particular subject, and they're trying to bone up on that a little bit better. It doesn't matter. It's all the same. But we have to first of all put Christ ahead of everything else. And we have to work at that. We have to work at that. The reason I try to work at even being legalistic, if you want to say so. I don't think that's legalism in this term, but some people would say so. I want to try to make sure that if I can, before I go to work, at least I can spend some time with God in His Word and prayer. Try to do some of it. Sometime. It's essential. I can tell it. If I just miss out on 5 minutes, I can tell it. And I need to have that to be what I ought to be as an employee, to be what I ought to be as a husband, as a father, as a pastor. It's essential that you have that. And it's essential not only that I have it, it's essential that you have it. You've got to have your mind stayed on Christ. Or you'll dream up all of these such a concoctions of ideas and opinions, and you'll make all of these plans, and God just let every one of them be wadded up like a piece of paper. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Or they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for the Lord hath not forsaken them that seek him. God has always honored those that honors him. Jeremiah 17. We're familiar with Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But I didn't want you to know that one right now. Look at verses 7 and 8. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the rivers, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the years of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Sound like Psalm 1, does it not? Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord. Why? This man that who trusteth in the Lord, this individual whose hope is in the Lord, is like a tree right beside the rivers of water. And when you have a drought, that tree doesn't suffer because it's right beside the water and its roots are going out, soaking up the water, and the leaves continue to be green in the drought. And when it comes time for the fruit to come, it's had enough water that it still has fruit in its season. Beloved, when there are troublesome times and you're going through trials and affliction, would you like to be able to say that the Lord is with me? Oh yes, my body hurts. Or, oh yes, my soul is aching. Or whatever the trial or the affliction may be from one extreme to the other. But you can say, God is with me. And I'm thankful that God is in the midst of my trial, and God is with me in my affliction, and the Lord is daily my delight. You say, how can I do that? Well, the only way you can do it is right now, start putting your trust in Him, keeping your mind stayed on Him. Because you cannot go through life disregarding the Scriptures, disregarding the Lord, and thinking about everything else, and then when the trials come, you won't say, well, I'm just ready to quit. But if your mind is stayed on God, and if you make Him the focus of your life each day in the trials and the afflictions and the daily struggles, and you may say, yes, the body is weak, and I do not see how I can put one step above the other or in front of the other, one foot in front of the other. But I know that God is with me and God knows what's going on. And He won't put on me more than I can bear. And I know what I'm required to do. As a father, I'm required to take care and provide for the family. And I'm going to do it. If God wants to send me $100,000 and let me retire for life, He can do that. But He knows I don't need it, or He'd give it to me. He knows it's not the best for me. And we have to look at it that way. Our minds must be stayed on God, not on ourselves. Stayed on God. Stayed on God. Our next point is obeying the Lord. Obeying the Lord. Love, obedience, and peace are three sisters. They're twin sisters, and they live together. And they live together harmoniously. Love, obedience, and peace. Love, obedience, and peace are three sisters that live together harmoniously. You say, well, how can you be sure of that? Well, I'm glad you asked. We're going to John. You probably heard me read these verses so many times. You may get tired of it, but if you do, that's your problem because it's God's Word. Should never be tired of the Word of the Lord. Love, obedience, and peace. Let's read a few verses here in John 14. Jesus said in verse 21, He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. What is being near to God without loving God? If you are around somebody that you just can't stand, you can be close to them, you're still miserable, aren't you? In fact, the closer you are to them, the more miserable you are. Right? You don't want to be in the same room with them. You don't want to be in the same house with them. Really, you don't want to be in the same town or state with them. You'd rather just never see them again. But he that has my commandments and keeps my commandments loves me. You cannot love and enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ and be at peace with Him unless you're keeping His commandments. In fact, you most likely you'll not be at peace with anybody. And he that loveth me, and if you love Christ, what are you going to be doing? You're going to be keeping His commandments. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. You're talking about drawing nigh to God. We must keep His commandments. I like the passage in John 5 where it says, and His commandments are not grievous. The child of grace desires and wants to keep the commandments. He loves them. And of course, Judas, that other Judas, not the one that betrayed the Lord, wanted to know how it is that thou wilt manifest himself to them and not to the world. How does God show himself to somebody without showing him, without, and not show himself to somebody else? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Beloved, you can be sitting right beside of an individual, and that individual not know what you know, simply because you may be keeping the commandments of the Lord and he's not, or vice versa. See how love, obedience, and peace are inseparable sisters, twin sisters. Jesus goes on to say, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. You're going to be taught these things, and you're going to be kept in these things. And then he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So here you have love, which is seen in obedience, and obedience causes you to experience love, and living in this love, and living in communion and fellowship with the Lord, in your obedience to him, you're going to have the peace of God. They're there. Drop over to the last chapter, or last verse of the 16th chapter. And the reason I'm going to drop over to that is for this reason. Listen to me carefully before you read the verse. John chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 15, and chapter 16 all happen that night. And this is one continuous event. And all of the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ that are given in those four chapters was given that last night as and after he washed the disciples' feet. And he went out and went into the Mount of Olives. Chapter 17 is his high priestly prayer. That happened that night. Chapter 18 happened that night. Chapter 19, part of it, and into the next day. But 13, 14, and 15, particularly 14, 15, and 16, is one discourse, as you might say. And notice what he said at the conclusion. Now, we've already read from John 14. We could have read a lot more from some of the other chapters. These things have I spoken unto you, that ye might have peace. Jesus, why did you say, he that loves me keeps my commandments and obeys? And he that obeys, I love him, my Father will love him, and we'll come and we'll live with him. Peace, I'll let you have the peace. And then he said, these things have I spoken unto you. What? That ye might have peace. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. You see, when we say that obedience, love, and peace are twin sisters, they're inseparable. You can't have peace without obeying God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Well, if your mind is stayed on God, you're going to be obeying God. If you're going to be obeying God, your mind's going to be stayed on God. It all works together. We're looking at different points. But all of these points so dovetail within each other, they're really inseparable. They work together. All we're doing is looking at the diamond from this facet, this facet, this facet, from this one, in all different directions. But they all come together. They all come together. Even our prayer life is linked to obedience. Obeying the Lord. Our prayer life is linked to obedience. John 15, verse 7. Jesus said, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." Powerful, isn't it? You see, when your mind and heart is filled with the Word of God, you're going to be praying according to His Scriptures, not according to what you want. I can pray for a lot of things of what I want. But a lot of things that I want is not what God wants. Not for my life. And we can even pray for good things, but good things may not be the best things for us at times. God will give us not only the good things that are good for us, but He'll give us the best things that are good for us. But He won't give us the good things nor the best things if they're not good for us, but they may be good for somebody else. You see somebody, you know, somebody gave them $1 million. Why couldn't it have been me? Yeah, because you couldn't handle it. That person could handle it. Or it'll be used against them in the day of judgment because they didn't handle it. Abraham was a rich man. He could handle riches. Solomon was a rich man. He could handle riches. I think I could handle riches. If God would give it to me, I'd just like for Him to try me sometime. But I'm almost afraid to even pray for it. I figure if I can handle it, God would hand it to me. I heard of someone recently, I don't know who it was, somebody was telling me that they knew of somebody who's relative of somebody that they actually won the lottery twice. And they moved out of the state and didn't let anybody know where they were because they had too many friends start showing up and too many relatives, and they didn't know how to handle it, and they didn't know who they could really trust or not. You know, it takes great responsibility to know how to handle the Lord's money. Of course, our Lord said, "Before I give you a lot, you're going to have to be faithful in the little stuff. Faithful in the little stuff." But Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, if you obey me, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." If we pray anything according to His will, He heareth us. Well, Father, You've said that we're to grow in Your grace and knowledge and we're to know Your Word. Teach me what justification is. You'll say, "All right, there's the book. Start studying." And you start studying and you look up and you labor in the Word and you pray to God, He'll teach you. I'm as confident of that as anything. Or you put any other truth in there. I just happen to think of justification. Can't imagine why I would say justification. Well, We'll stop there. It'll take too long to get into the other point. I've got a few more to go. These are just simple things, but things we need to be reminded of continually. That's how to draw nigh to God. You know, we read James 4, draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you, and we just read right on it and keep going. How many times we just stop and think, draw nigh to God? How do I draw nigh to God? What do I do to draw nigh to God? Well, we're giving you some things. Just some pure, simple, everyday things that anybody can do. Particularly those who have the Spirit of the Lord. Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us to put these things into practice. Help us to work at these things. In doing so, we will draw nigh to Thee. Because You've said, if we draw nigh to You, You'll draw nigh to us. You just made that a blanket statement. We don't have to question whether You will. Now, You may not draw nigh to us as quick or as much as we want in the time that we want. You may prove us like You did the Israelites and see if it's really real with us, or we just stirred up for a few moments because somebody said something. So help us to honor You and to seek Your face and to humble ourselves under Your word, that we might have our soul at liberty with Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Turn it off.